We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
News Radio 1120 KMOX. Aaron, you missed us. We're back. Yeah. This is Overtime.
Are you ready?
You guys ready?
Tom Ackerman with you on Overtime. These two guys are always ready. It's Charlie Brennan and Mark Reardon squaring off in this edition at 8:34. Good morning, Chucky B.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
And Mark Reardon, who we just heard talking about the Critics' Choice Awards. Always a pleasure, sir. How are you?
Well, we have technical problems from the High Ridge office, so I'm on the phone this morning.
Well, you're on the phone, but you still sound good, and we'll be able to chat it up with you. No problems at all. We always have a backup plan, you know that. Charlie, Donald Trump on Monday defended hush money payments reported by his former lawyer, responding a day after Democratic lawmakers said the president could face impeachment and jail time if the transactions are proven to violate campaign finance laws. Trump said on Twitter that Democrats were wrongly targeting a simple private transaction. Is the president right about this?
Could be. I think we talked about this first thing yesterday morning. You know, should he be impeached? And yesterday it was John Dean. Today, it's the same thing. If he gives money to his mistress so she will shut up after this one night affair or whatever it was, is that to try to influence the 2016 election? Maybe. Or was he just trying to keep the information from Melania? Hard to say. I don't think really, though, that we're going to change the president, overturn the election because of a campaign finance violation. I just don't see that. Don't forget, this special counsel was supposed to investigate collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. And now we're looking at whether the money to Stormy Daniels was trying to influence the 2016 campaign. I really think that Robert Mueller should wrap this up.
Mark, is Trump right? Is this a simple private transaction?
Well, I think it depends on, you know, the law is very specific here. I can't talk this morning. In these cases, so, you know, there seems to be a different interpretation from different groups here on whether or not this was, you know, something that was private, or is it a, you know, basically, I didn't know this was allowed. I'm not sure that ignorance is going to work here at all. I think that this is still to be determined. I can't tell you whether this technically was a violation of campaign finance laws. I think there's a chance, depending on maybe where the money came from, that it is, so I think that's still up for grabs. But when it comes to, you know, possible impeachment, I think, I don't know if you guys talked about what Jim Comey said over the weekend, where he said, you know, look, I hope that doesn't happen. Even Comey says, I hope that doesn't happen because I think this needs to go through the electoral process and get to 2020.
Well, you know, there's nothing illegal about trying to shut up somebody. I mean, to pay money to a mistress so she doesn't blab about the affair. It's just whether or not you did that in order to change the election, and then it would come under campaign finance expenditures.
Well, I think it may be a little bit more complicated than that, because there's different rules on how much money you can give with contributions, and even personal loans can count as contributions, even if they're repaid. So, you know, these campaign finance laws are very intricate, and you could probably find violations, and we've seen this even in Missouri. People violate technically the campaign finance laws, and then they get, you know, fined $100 or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, but is giving money to a former paramour a campaign expenditure? I don't think so, generally.
Well, generally, it might not be, but that's why they're talking about it here.
Yeah, but in this political climate, it's going to be interpreted as that. Anything you can get on the guy. Yeah, of course that was a campaign finance violation. He was giving money to Stormy Daniels. Everyone knows that's a legitimate campaign expense that wasn't reported. Well, I don't know. Maybe he just didn't want his wife to learn about it.
How much is this wall going to cost? So Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi have until December 21st to resolve their differences over how much to spend on the wall, or this could trigger a partial government closure. The president wants $5 billion in the spending bill for wall funding. The Democrats are offering just over $1 billion. Does the wall get built, Mark Reardon?
Well, I've never felt that the wall was going to get built. I'm not a big fan of, well, I'll tell you what, I'm certainly not a big fan of paying for the wall with my tax dollars. I think that the promise was, if I remember correctly, that the Mexican government, the Mexico, was going to pay for the wall. And then I heard from people that said, well, you know, they're not going to just, you know, write a check. It's the way that we're going to work this with trade relations and stuff like that. So I think that this is something that the president wants to complete. It was a campaign promise. Even Chuck Schumer has offered up, I don't know if you can call it an olive branch, but at least a willingness, more willing than some people on his side thought he should be, to negotiate this. I don't think a government shutdown is going to be good for anyone right now.
I think it's going to be a major sticking point because both parties are going to really hack off their bases if they give in to the other. Of course, that's true for the president and for Nancy Pelosi. So I think we're going to be, unfortunately, because I don't think it's the top priority for this country, I think we're going to be talking about this for a long time.
St. Louis's gun problem, that has been an ongoing discussion as well. We'll get into that when we come back. It's Overtime with Mark Reardon and Charlie Brennan. I'm Tom Ackerman on KMOX.
KMOX. You ready? Let's go.
This is Overtime.
Welcome back to OT with Charlie Brennan and Mark Reardon. I'm Tom Ackerman. Through November, St. Louis City Police have tallied 166 killings. Now, that's about 25 fewer than the same time last year. But gun crimes have dominated the crime report. 985 armed robberies citywide. 55 of them downtown, 42 of them in the Central West End. Assaults with a gun, people who survive being shot or shot at, 2,189. Are we doing enough, Charlie, to address our area's gun problem?
Well, you know, what we should be doing is tallying the shootings like Chicago does, Philadelphia. In fact, yesterday or the day before, the Philadelphia Inquirer had a story on the after effects of shootings. You know, we often talk about the homicides, and we should. I don't think we talk enough about them, but we never talk about the people who are shot and have to live in the aftermath. A lot of them on Medicaid, and Medicaid will give you a new wheelchair every 5 years, but your wheelchair generally lasts about two. People who can't get to work, they can't walk, they can't sit up because of the bullet wounds. And it's a huge issue. I'm kind of relieved that the homicide numbers are down, but what we also heard about the car break-ins in downtown St. Louis, it was like, what, two a week or something like that? Just off the charts. And across the city, I heard Kevin Kling with the numbers earlier today, just well, we need more police officers. We've been talking about that for a long time, haven't we, Mark?
Well, we have, but the question as posed is, are we doing enough to address the gun problem in our area? And I guess I would ask, what is the gun problem in our area? It's a crime problem. It's a violent crime problem. It's not a gun problem. It's the fact that people, many people in the city of St. Louis, don't have any regard for human life. And are they going to use a gun because they have access to it? Yeah, they are. What? No one has been able to put a plan in front of me to show what a new law or a new restriction or something that the legislature passes would reduce somehow crime in the city of St. Louis. What is that? What is the plan to address the gun problem? This is a serious crime issue, a violent crime issue. And unless you start changing the culture, it's not going to go down.
Well, there have been some attempts, and one of them was by the U.S. Attorney, Jeff Jensen, appointed by Trump, by the way, who has said that he is going to start prosecuting gun crimes, and he has done that.
Yeah.
He's got a docket full, and actually the homicides are down this year, so he is making some progress there.
How do we know he's making progress?
Look, because you can look at the number of homicides, they're down from last year.
So that has nothing to do with correlation. We don't know that there's a correlation between that unless you can prove it. But my point is, he should have been doing that. And U.S. attorneys have done this across the country. Chicago did this many years ago, where you have to have a coordinated effort between police and law enforcement officials in the prosecutor's office and the U.S. attorney. I give him a lot of credit for doing this, but he's using the tools that we already have with the laws that are already on the books.
Well,
people should be prosecuted with. So that's what we should be doing.
Well, his predecessor was going after white-collar crime in his wisdom. And I give Jeff Jensen a lot of credit. And there could be correlation between the decline in homicides and the increased strong-arming by the federal government.
I'm not saying that that's not the case, but we don't know that.
How do they do it in other cities, Charlie?
Well, among other things, in Boston, they actually borrowed one of our policies, which was in the 1990s or early 1990s under Police Chief Sheets. We used to go up to the homes and ask for mom's permission to search the home for a firearm. And, of course, you can't search without a warrant, but you can if the homeowner gives you permission. So we did this for a while, and it seemed to work around 1993, 94, 95. The number of homicides went down markedly. Boston actually picked that up. So, I mean, that's one thing you can do. I wouldn't mind resurrecting that program.
I have this was an interesting story. I don't know if you heard this one or not, but I heard this morning. An ongoing study by the National Institute of Health shows that different patterns have been discovered in the brains of children who have heavy daily screen time. So they're looking at 9, 10-year-olds. Maybe this one just hit home harder for me because I have kids in that range, but they use smart devices to play video games more than 7 hours daily, and the scans done on those children show the thinning of the brain's cortex, the part of the organ that processes sensory information. Mark, did you hear that? Any thoughts on that study?
Yeah, I did hear it, and I would have a lot of concern about that. I think it's serious. I think that we look at the differences between the generations and how we grew up, and this is where we start to sound old, but I have two teenage kids, well, one who's 21 now, and they've spent a lot of screen time. So, you know, a couple of things I would be interested in, and they're doing studies like this. I still don't think we have, and I'm not saying these two things are connected, but maybe in a certain way, we don't have good information for how all the Adderall and all these other drugs have affected the brains of these young kids. And if a study is saying that there are differences in the brain activity that is correlated to this, I think that's a big concern. And I think, you know, parents, we all do this where we rely on those devices to occupy our kids' times, but it's a serious issue.
Well, you know, I saw a story that Bank of America now has training sessions for its employees so they can learn how to shake a hand, because apparently a handshake is, you know, it's a steep learning curve for some of today's younger kids. Is that because they spend too much time on screens? It's possible. Also, I saw a study that indicates that just the mere presence of your iPhone near you, just the presence of it, not that it's going off and it's dinging because there's a text message, but the presence alone grabs your attention. So you're less attentive to your studies or whatever else you're trying to do just because this dang thing is, you know, within arm's reach. I don't know. I think Mark's right. We don't know enough about this. And I think our kids are like the guinea pigs. And I think it's my biggest. I've had many printing errors, but I think that's the biggest one, buying iPhones.
That's Charlie Brennan, along with Mark Reardon. I'm Tom Ackerman. This is Overtime, and we're back with more right after this.
Guess what?
What?
Overtime continues.
You gotta be kidding.
Really?
Really, really.
On KMOX.
We're back on Overtime with Charlie Brennan and Mark Reardon. I'm Tom Ackerman. Mark, a proud graduate of the University of Missouri, Mizzou has impounded 20 Bird scooters since the company first dropped them off in Columbia. The university says the scooters are blocking curb cuts and ramps and ADA accessible entrances as well. The scooters are kept at an MU storage site where other impounded vehicles are stored. I can tell you that at the Mizzou, Georgia game, my daughters were like, "Daddy, what is that?" And we walked over, and it was a Bird scooter just laying there, you know, next to somebody's tailgate. And we looked it up, and it was empty. It wasn't working, so it was just sitting there and didn't have any juice left in it. So what is the deal there, Mark? Is it time to do away with scooters at Mizzou?
Can I ask a question, a serious question? What is a Bird scooter compared to some of the other ones we see here in St. Louis? I honestly don't know.
I think it's
the
pretty
brand.
Much the same,
okay.
Just
it's
a brand.
Just the brand, right? Yeah. It's the same thing. I don't know. You know, I was walking into Scott Trade or Enterprise Center for the game on Sunday afternoon, and there was someone who came by with one of those, and I mean, I thought she was going right off the curb into the ER room. I think that those would be the bigger issues, safety issues. But if people are just dragging these things around Columbia and, you know, dropping them in front of entrances, is banning the right thing to do for the other kids so they can't use them? I don't know.
Yeah, people like them. But I thought it was interesting recently, I believe it was the Post-Dispatch had a story about this new like line of work, and it's where people scramble in the evening to pick up the scooters, recharge them, and put them back on the streets of St. Louis during the day. And one of the individuals who did it has a broken elbow because while picking up the scooter, you know, you ride the scooter and you carry the others, she fell. And I can only imagine, we should really call a local ER and see how many scooter accidents we've had. I bet there have been more than a handful.
Traditionally, anything illegal has been an all-cash transaction, but now that marijuana is legal in several states and more states on the way, will you soon be able to buy pot with a credit card where it's legal? In order for that to happen, the federal government will have to remove marijuana from its current Schedule 1 classification. Charlie, should you be able to buy marijuana on credit?
Well, you know, it's interesting because the federal government does say you're not allowed to possess, distribute, or use marijuana in any amount. So, and banks are really concerned about things like that. So I don't anticipate that you'll be able to use that credit card anytime soon for it. But I know, Mark, you'll believe that as a libertarian, you should be able to do that.
Absolutely. And you can in Colorado. So you have states that are going to. I absolutely think you'll be able to in the future, in the near future, in the states that allow it. So I would foresee a change in that. It's going to be maybe a slow change, but it'll happen eventually. We're heading in this direction. You can't put the genie back in the bottle.
Yeah, out in California, that's certainly a discussion. And they're also talking about building a new home. You have to have solar panels. This is a new measure mandating green power for new homes starting in 2020, Mark. A unanimous vote, a historical undertaking, they say, by lawmakers who say will be a beacon of light for the rest of the country. What do you think of that new law?
I think I'm really, really glad every week that I do not live in California, despite the climate, because they're crazy out there. That's all I'll say about that.
They are indeed.
How about that? So you have to have a mandate green power for new homes starting.
Will the ocean rise enough at some point just to make, you know, the, you know, ocean views Nevada or something else? That would be my hope. We'll bring those people here to Missouri where they have rights and aren't forced to do things.
By the way, one last thing. We talked about the gun laws. New Jersey may enforce a new law that lowered the number of bullets that guns can hold. The law reducing maximum magazine capacity from 10 rounds to 10 rounds from a 15-round limit. You like that new law?
Is that for every firearm?
That would be,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Hmm. I think just people will learn to reload faster.
I think it will be declared unconstitutional.
That is from New Jersey. And here in St. Louis, Charlie Brennan is coming up next. What do you have on tap for us?
Hey, lots of things, including Ainsley Proffitt. She's 17 years old, and she's from St. Louis, and she's on the U.S. ski team. How about that? Plus, we're going to talk to some of the lawyers who successfully settled a suit with the Rams over your PSLs. Vervis Jones, former St. Louis comptroller, is going to be with us. He's written a novel called Stalking Horse, and I think we might get that wine line done. I'm not sure. We'll find out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.